Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. What principles undergird the worship experience in your church? The book of Hebrews gives us a basis for how we should conduct corporate worship. And today, we'll hear teaching that can set all of our churches on solid ground. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on how to adore God, we're exploring how to apply the New Testament teaching on what pleases God, especially in our services of worship. Turn with us to Hebrews chapter 13.
And now let me talk about the worship service. One last passage to turn to, and that is Hebrews chapter 13. Now we finally get to the worship service. Hebrews chapter 13. And the writer of Hebrews says, in verses 13 and 14, he's talking about the reproach of Christ and how we should be willing to follow him and go outside the camp and bear his reproach and be identified with him even at great personal cost. And then he says in verse 15, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, and give thanks to his name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You'll notice now he begins to talk about praising. That's the seventh verb. It's to praise God. And of course, we can praise God individually, but one of the reasons that we come together collectively as members of the body of Christ is so that we can praise him together. What does this text teach us about worship, and what should it mean in terms of our worship service? Let me give you some ideas. First of all, notice that the writer is saying that worship should be intentional. We come, the text says, to offer up a sacrifice through Christ. Through Christ we come. Later on, I hope to preach a series of messages on God, and we'll clarify this point many times. But can you think of the irreverence that there is today in the world for God? Everybody thinking that they can barge into God's presence on their own, that they can just come to God and find him in their souls or find him in whatever way they possibly can. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible must always be approached properly, and you must come through Christ. Apart from that, you will be turned away, because that's the only offering that he ultimately accepts. So we come. We don't just come barging into the throne room of God without first of all going to the altar. We come to confess. We come to humble ourselves. We come to say with Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone." We come in that spirit of repentance and humility, and we come through Christ, and then we're invited to come into the throne room and to get into the very citadel and the very presence of Almighty God. That's how we come. You see, my friend, the altar comes before the adoration. The confession comes before the adoration of God. Now, when we gather together today here in this worship service, you'll notice that I began the service. I quoted a passage of Scripture. I reminded you that we should be quiet, that we should be in God's presence. And we invited the presence of Jesus to be here, and we prayed in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a question. Did I do that because that's always the way in which it's been done since as far back as you can remember? I hope that's not the reason. We did it because we're serious about this. We're not just coming to God willy-nilly on our own. We're coming with that sense of humility, that sense of cleansing, and we come in the name of Jesus. Through him we offer up sacrifices continually. And if Jesus did not make our own sacrifices acceptable to the Father, they would be rejected by him. You don't just come to God as you are without the proper way. So we come the means of blood, you see. We come intentionally. We come with the idea that we are here to worship God. Secondly, notice it is continual. It is intentional. It is also continual. Through him, then, let us continually offer up sacrifices to God. How do we do that? Well, we do that in the worship service all the way through, both in the singing and in the understanding of Scripture. We come, and we are of a mind set to worship the Lord our God. And then when we leave here, we continue the worship. And how do we continue it? How do we do it day after day after day after day if we're not in a worship service? Let me tell you, there are two ways to do it. One is through the meditation of Scripture, which we read and we meditate, and we read a text in the morning, and we say, Lord, what is there in here for today that I can chew on for the rest of the day? That's part of it. The second is we memorize the songs, and we sing them to ourselves. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The choir has such a great advantage because they memorize words. They know these songs, and throughout the whole day and throughout the whole week, the songs that they are singing of adoration and praise to God keep being replayed in their minds. That's why, my friend, it is necessary not just to have a Bible in your hands, but to also have a hymnal in your hands. The great hymns of adoration that we just sang this morning, the hymn with which we shall close, O come, let us adore him. These are songs that have to be in our minds so that long after the music has died down and we've met our friends and we've gone home, the effects of our worship continue. So tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, we continue the worship continually. This text of Scripture says we offer up the worship and the praise that is due him. So it is intentional. It is continual. Notice it is directional. To him, we offer praise to God. I have to ask you this. When you come to a worship service, what are you thinking? What are you expecting? Are you saying to yourself, well, you know, I sure hope I get something out of this? Vance Havner said that he never heard a sermon yet where he didn't get something out of it, but he said he's had some mighty close calls. We've all had our mighty close calls. Some of us have created those mighty close calls. So are you saying to yourself, I wonder if the sermon is going to be good and speak to me? I wonder if I'm going to meet the people that I want to meet. I wonder, is this what it is? Well, all those things may be part of the mix, but they're not the bottom line. They're not the priority. When we come to a worship service, our first thought should be, what is God going to get out of this? Is God going to be pleased? Is he going to be honored because finally my life and my lips have come together so that I can legitimately sing, O come, let us adore him, because my whole life has been one of adoration to God. I know these verbs, and I have worshiped and served, and I've given and I've yielded, and now, Lord, this is just the culmination of who I am. Oh, what a difference that makes in our worship service. And that's why, you see, we do not speak when we enter into the auditorium for our worship service. We can speak out in the hallways, but we don't speak here because this is the time. What if God were to really show up? We're going to bring an audience, an offering to the king. We're coming into the presence of the King of Kings together, and we'd better be prepared, and we'd better have our hands washed and our hearts made clean, because this is important stuff. God is among his people. It's directional. And that's why if we have children, if we have babies, we sit near a door so that if the child cries, we can exit so that we don't disturb people because we want people to focus on God. We want people to think that this is an offering to the Almighty. With this microphone, I can't turn around and talk to the choir, but there is a rumor they hear me back there anyway. Choir, I exhort you that when you sing those lovely anthems that bless us, I exhort you to use them as an offering to God and to simply say, this is for God. We want people to be blessed. We want to do well, and you always do so well. But at the end of the day, everything has to be God-directed. And the real question is He pleased? Is He pleased? So that when we sing solos or sing in the choir, the question is, are we directing people to God? Because our own hearts are clean. It is directional. It is purposeful. Notice what the text says. And I love this here. Give praise to God that is the fruit of our lips. What imagery. What he's saying is that when you come to give praise to God, it's because it's a whole life that backs you up. This is just the fruit of your whole lifestyle. Giving praise and thanks to his name. In everything, give thanks. You say, well, Pastor Luther, why is this a sacrifice? Why is giving praise to God a sacrifice? It's easy. All that we do is we say a song or sing a hymn that is very worshipful, that gives God praise. There's no cost involved. You know, you read the Psalms and you discover something. Many of those Psalms were born out of incredible circumstances, of grief, of pain, of disappointment, of loneliness and anguish. And that's why praise can be costly. Because we're offering this praise to God in the midst of our trials, in the midst of unanswered prayer, in the midst of all of our questions, because we don't have answers, but still we praise God. And that costs something. And therefore, it's the sacrifice of praise to God, intentionally and purposefully given to Him. Now, if I need to emphasize again the connection that the Bible writers always make between the praise that comes out of our mouth and the life that we live, notice the very next verse, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. He said, by the way, the sacrifice of praise in verse 15 is acceptable, but the sacrifice of sharing, that is to say, giving, is also acceptable, and don't you dare think that you can do one without the other.
This is Pastor Lutzer. Of course, our entire lives should be an act of worship. I'm thinking, for example, of Romans chapter 12, where it says that you give your bodies to God and that this is a spiritual act of worship. If when we begin our day, our mind and heart is settled on God, and as best we can, we affirm with God's help that it is our desire to please Him in all things, then our entire life becomes worship. Of course, we worship specifically with others in church and so forth, but worship isn't just something that happens Sunday morning. I'm so thankful for the many of you who listen to Running to Win, and if you want to connect with us, maybe you've been blessed or you'd like to tell us that you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that. It will bless us. Go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, and let us know that you've been blessed.
Erwin Lutzer with more on how to adore God. Next time, we wrap up this helpful series. This brief series on worshiping God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how to adore God. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.